I'm glad you've joined us for a little Bible study. We're always happy to know that some are following us regularly. Perhaps you know of some who have not heard about this broadcast, and you could tell them that we're here to tell them the story of Jesus and His love, and to get some help as we study the Word of God together. I hope you have your Bible ready. Well, we're going to have another study in our series of Old Testament pictures. And today, one who's coming into this world is a wonderful picture of the coming of God's Son. The story of Joseph. Everyone loves the story of Joseph from the book of Genesis. More space is given in the book of Genesis to the story of this man than in any of the others before him. We're going to think a little bit about Joseph. First of all, in his humiliation, and then in his exaltation. And this will give us a good view of the Lord Jesus coming to this earth the first time as the Lamb, and coming again as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Coming into the world the first time rejected and despised. Coming back again to be acclaimed of all, when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. Coming the first time to be crowned with a crown of thorns. Coming back again to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Coming to be crucified because you and I had sinned against God and we must have a Savior if we're to be spared the judgment for our own sins. But coming back the next time to be glorified eternally. Now the life of Joseph, the first part of his story, is a story of several successive downward steps. Suffering misunderstanding and misjudgment by his own brothers, hated by them. Stripped of his coat, and that's a good picture of our Savior veiling his glory for a little while to come down here and be looked upon as only a carpenter. Many thought of him as just a man. Sold into slavery, and so was our Lord Jesus sold for the price of a slave. Then he was taken down into Egypt, away from his kindred, and falsely accused there. And our Savior, when he stood before Pilate, was accused falsely. They made up lies against him when they couldn't find any fault in him. Even his own judge said, "I find no fault in this man," and those who died beside him said that he's done nothing amiss. And then he was imprisoned, and finally, at the lowest stage of his humiliation, Joseph was made to be a servant to the other prisoners. But this is nothing compared to what the Lord Jesus went through. When you have time, read the second chapter of Philippians and notice the seven steps of humiliation. First of all, being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Second, he took upon him the form of a servant, literally a slave. And third, he was made in the likeness of man. Our Lord Jesus had true human nature. He was not a sinner, but he was a true man. He never ceased to be God, but he did become man. And then the fourth thing was being found in fashion as man. And that was a great step downward for him. He then humbled himself. Now, there are many men who are not humble, but our Lord Jesus humbled himself, and then he became obedient unto death. Now, he was the Creator. He was the Lord of life. There was no reason why he should be subject to death. The wages of sin is death, the 6th of Romans tells us. You and I have earned those wages. You and I have sinned against God. And we can't expect anything better than death. But he became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross, how much farther down he went than ever Joseph did. Now, our Lord Jesus' suffering in his humiliation was in order that he might take our place. Joseph was suffering because his brothers hated him. But our Lord Jesus, suffering without a cause, was doing so for our sakes. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Have you thanked him? Have you understood that the Lord Jesus came into this world for that express purpose? You must never think of the coming of Christ into this world as simply a lovely Christmas story. You mustn't think of the coming of Christ into this world as a mere accident. You must think of his coming into this world as predetermined, as the plan and purpose of God before this world was ever created. For being God, he knew the end from the beginning. He knew that human beings would sin, and he knew that we would need a Savior. And because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So the Lord Jesus came, and he suffered and died. Now, if that's all we had to say, we wouldn't have a story. If the Lord Jesus Christ is dead, the Bible says we are of all men most miserable. Our faith is vain. Our preaching is vain. Our loved ones have perished. We have nothing if Christ is dead. But the Lord Jesus not only was humiliated, but the very next verse there in Philippians chapter 2 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." There came a time in Joseph's history when God saw that he was brought out of the dungeon. He was given a place of great honor, and in Egypt he became next to the Pharaoh. Joseph's humiliation had proved him to be perfectly righteous. He had been falsely accused by a wicked woman, but he was proven to be righteous. Our Lord Jesus' life proved him to be much more than just righteous. His life here, his death and triumphant resurrection proved him to be what he claimed to be, the Son of God. When Joseph was exalted, he was given a new name. He was named by Pharaoh Zaphnath-Paaneah. Now that means in the Coptic language, the revealer of secrets. But his Egyptian name meant Savior of the world. And aren't those names significant? Who is a revealer of secrets like our Lord Jesus Christ? Why, he knew the hearts of the people who were standing round about him, and he said, "Why do you reason these things in your hearts?" He knows what you're thinking right now, too. He knows all the things you have thought. And he is the revealer of secrets. He would like to show you something about yourself. He'd like to show you something about himself. He would like to reveal to you the forgiveness of sins. He would like to reveal to you all that he has in store for you. He would like you to know the everlasting secrets of blessing and happiness. And then he is called the Savior of the world too. In the fourth chapter of John, they said, "Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." Well, when he was exalted, he didn't spend his time getting honor to himself. Immediately, he became a blessing to the whole world. He was a great blessing to the Gentiles. And our Lord Jesus, in his death and resurrection, has been a blessing to us who are Gentiles. He was a blessing to his own people, Israel, also. And God is not through with Israel. They've been put on the shelf for the present dispensation. But one of these days, God's going to take them up again. They are one of these days going to be the head of the nations and not the tail. There are hundreds of unfulfilled prophecies in the Old Testament. And don't you ever forget it. Israel, which has come into prominence in these last few years, is being cared for by God. Now, that doesn't mean that all the Jewish people love the Lord. Many of them are still in unbelief, and they don't know that they've rejected their Messiah. But we who are Christians ought to be praying for them. Now, whenever anyone came to Pharaoh for corn, when they needed anything, his word was, go to Joseph. And that's God's word to us today. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is only and entirely through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his name, through his work. I can't say this too plainly. Don't depend on yourself. Don't depend on your good works. Don't depend on your church. Don't depend on the ordinances. Depend only and solely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure that you've trusted him. For everything that God has is in Christ. God who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Well, ultimately, Joseph's brethren were forgiven and restored. And there are wonderful days ahead for Israel. There are wonderful days ahead for the world. Because after the time which we call the Great Tribulation, the time when the man of sin is revealed, and this world goes through its terrible darkness, the church will be gone before that time, thank God. We who know the Lord Jesus will be taken home, perhaps sooner than any of us think. Perhaps before this day is over, we shall go to meet the Lord in the air. And when we're taken home to be with the Lord, the judgments of this world will take place. The time of Jacob's trouble will be fulfilled. And then the Lord Jesus will come back and set up his kingdom. And when he does, of his kingdom and its increase there shall be no end. The glory of the Lord shall fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Wonderful days are ahead when our Lord Jesus is exalted to be King of Kings. And as Joseph had a Gentile bride to share his throne, so our Lord Jesus has us who have trusted him now. Our Father, we ask you to bless these truths to us. Help those who are listening today to trust our Savior and help us to love him as we ought. We give thee our thanks in his name. Amen.